I'm Robert Siegel, and it's time for All Tech Considered. This week, the week of Valentine's Day, we explore love in the digital age. The film Her, about a man who falls in love with an operating system, has been nominated for 5 Oscars. It takes place in a future with computer voices that sound like Scarlett Johansson instead of Siri. NPR's Laura Seidel wondered, could it happen? Could someone fall in love with a device?
I don't know about you, but my interactions with Apple's computerized assistant, Siri, are more likely to evoke frustration than love. I have the latest album by Patti Griffin on my phone. I ask Siri to play a song. Nothing comes out.
My web search turned this up.
No, no, Siri. I want to hear a song by Patti Griffin, and you're not playing it.
You're certainly entitled to that opinion.
It's not subject to opinion. It's not coming out of my phone. Siri, you're really annoying.
That's okay. Just don't squeeze me like that.
She's gotten my goat, and that's a sign that she could also get my affection, says Byron Reeves, a communications professor at Stanford.
What you demonstrated is that the voice is powerful, and I would say that that negative response is as interesting and social as the positive response might be when she gets it right.
Reeves says what research shows is that humans have an amazing ability to respond to machines just the way I did, as if the machine were human. He cites an experiment in which a computer gave lessons to a large group of people. Then the computer asks everyone, "How am I doing?"
The human rule in human-human interaction is be polite to those that ask questions about themselves. So people are polite to the computer. You are a great computer. I'm learning a lot from you.
But then they had a different computer ask the group, was the first computer a good teacher?
And the people say, well, there's some good points and bad points, and they think they learned a little bit less.
Reeves says on a primitive level, we're programmed to be polite.
We are using this social rule to interact with a machine, even though we know it's a hunk of junk.
Then, imagine if the computer sounded like this.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
That's Joaquin Phoenix's Theodore and Scarlett Johansson as Samantha. And there is absolutely no reason we couldn't fall in love with her voice, even if it wasn't attached to Scarlett Johansson, says Helen Fisher. Fisher is a biological anthropologist and a professor at Rutgers University. She says the parts of the brain that trigger that nice, woozy feeling are very primitive.
Large parts of these brain systems lie right next to brain system for thirst and for hunger. And these brain systems can really be triggered at any time.
Especially if you're lonely.
You get talking to, you know, an electronic character that cracks a joke and admires your work and tells you sexy things. Why couldn't this brain system for romantic love or deep attachment or the sex drive become triggered and suddenly you're off to the races?
You know, I can feel the fear that you carry around, and I wish there was something I could do to help you let go of it, because if you could, I don't think you'd feel so alone anymore.
So how far are we from the day when our computers will talk to us like Scarlett Johansson?
The vision is somewhat, I guess, from a technologist's perspective, somewhat utopian in that the technology was really, really effortless.
This is Gary Clayton. He's the chief creative officer at Nuance Communications. Technology from Nuance helps power Apple's Siri, as well as text recognition software Dragon. Clayton says there are many, many small incremental steps we will still have to take before we can build artificial intelligence like the one in Her. For example, there was a lot that Samantha knew quickly about Theodore.
She was able to go through his inbox and know a lot about him, his likes, his dislikes, his emotional states, particularly around what's going on in his life at that particular point.
Clayton says just to get to a point where the computer can put together the pieces of your life will require a shift in the way business is conducted online. For example, if Facebook owns what I put on its site, Facebook might not want to allow my computerized personal assistant, which is owned by Nuance, to gain access.
It's all siloed based on businesses. At what point does all that information get pulled away from the businesses and say, it's my information, and given the proper security, I should own it, rather than me having to use 100 different applications on my iPhone or on my Samsung Galaxy?
Then there's getting that voice to sound more human. To do that, the computer has to understand whether information is cheerful or sad. Brant Ward is the senior director of advanced speech at Nuance.
We're playing around with basically determining, is this, let's say, a positive story
maybe it's more of a neutral story or maybe it's more of a negative story.
Ward and Clayton show me a newsreader application they're working on at Nuance.
We're big radio fans.
Also, we've always wanted to sort of create the NPR-like experience, right?
Absolutely.
Snowden makes university rector bid. From BBC US News. The nomination of the former US intelligence officer.
It sounds like I still have a job. And even if we do build a robot or an operating system that mimics human behavior almost perfectly, anthropologist Helen Fisher thinks those relationships will end badly.
Bottom line is, we're built to hold on to the person we love and see and smell and taste and touch and cry with that individual. And indeed, no robot's going to do that.
I shared some positive feelings with Siri, and it was disappointing. Siri, I love you.
You hardly know me.
Maybe I just need to get to know her a little better. Or maybe she's just not that deep. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.